This is one of those messages that I will ask you to listen very carefully for a few minutes and get the background. The king of Israel was not what he ought to be. And the prophet of God spake to him in parables or stories. And one of those told about a king, or told the king about a man who was commissioned by his king in war, to fight war. And in that war, a prisoner was given to him that he may guard and keep him. This was a key prisoner of war. And this particular soldier had one duty and one duty only. All he had to do was one thing, and that was to look after the one prisoner. Now the king said, this is all you have to do. You have no other responsibility. You have no other obligations at all. Your job is to look after the one prisoner. Well, the prisoner got loose. The king called the fellow in, the soldier in, and said, where's the prisoner? And the soldier said, while I was busy, here and there, he was gone. While I was busy, here and there, he was gone. Now the king has said, if you let the prisoner go, your life must be paid for his life. And so the soldier said, but look, I was busy here and there. He wasn't laying down the job. He wasn't asleep. He was busy. No doubt he was busy doing something for the army. Maybe he was polishing his boots. Maybe he was cleaning his clothes. Maybe he was cleaning his gun. But whatever he was doing, he was busy here and there. And while he was busy, the prisoner of war escaped, and he had to die in the place of the prisoner of war. He had no other chance. The prisoner's gone. Never to return. Never a chance for him to improve. Never a chance for him to get another opportunity to guard the prisoner. The prisoner's gone. Gone forever. Never return. And the lesson is simply this. God is saying to every one of us, to King Ahab first, and then to every one of us, God is saying, opportunities come through our fingers that'll never return. God says to you, I want you to have a certain task. This is my will for your life. This I want you to do. But we don't do it if we fail. Busy here and there. Busy here and there. And let the opportunity pass. It'll never return. Young people, it'll never return. I was listening the other day to the WBBM, happens to be my favorite Chicago station. I like the music station too. What, WAIT, is that the good music station? I like that, but I like hear somebody talk on the radio. I like to hear music when I'm going to sleep and talk while I'm awake, so I listen to WBBM, especially in the car. Young people, girls, you listen to me. When I say listen, I mean listen. So I listen to WBBM, and that says it all, in case you hear. You don't listen to it, do you? But it's the way with you rock and rollers. You don't do it. Anyway, I listen to it. The other day I was listening to the news. It's a news station. News is just all the time, except in the morning. I think they have Arthur Godfrey in the morning. But anyway, I was hearing the news, and they told a startling statistic. This year, in Chicago, over 300 people have been killed in home fires. Think about that. Not over here. Over 300 people have been killed in home fires. Now, the second thing that's startling is this, that most of them were children. Most of them children. And the third startling thing was this. In almost every case, the fire was needless and could have been prevented. It was caused by carelessness on the part of the parents whose children were left alone. The parents were busy here and there. They weren't doing anything bad. In most cases, out in the yard, in the apartment next door, shopping at the grocery store, going down to the cleaners, busy here and there, And while they were busy, here and there, fire broke out in their apartments or houses, and over 300 people have been killed this winter. Most of them children. Now, those parents didn't take a gun and shoot the child. Neither did this fellow. This fellow didn't say, okay, here, prisoner, go on home to your family. Go on home to your country. He didn't say that. He said he was busy here and there. He had no intention of losing his prisoner. But he was busy here and there. Opportunity's gone. Now, he'll never have a chance again to get that prisoner back. Never a chance. Opportunity gone, gone forever. Ladies and gentlemen, life is a series of opportunities for God. That's what it's all about. God made you to serve Him. Did you ever stop and think that of all the creation, that God, all God's creation, that man is the only thing that doesn't obey God? God made the birds to fly and sing, and fly and sing they do at His command. God made the fish to swim, and swim they do at His command. God made the stars to twinkle and shine for the beauty of the skies, and they do at His command. God made the plants to grow and give us food, and they do at His command. Everything that God has made obeys God's command except man. Man thinks he's so high and lofty and exalted, and man does not obey his God. One opportunity after another is gone. Just an opportunity, it's gone, never to return. I was thinking about several of these. Take, for example, our youth. Our youth. Young people are admonished by the wise man Solomon to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days draw not. In other words, before the evil days get here, while the evil days draw not. Now, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, why wouldn't you kids serve the Lord? What would keep you, while you're young, you teenagers, what would keep you from serving God? Most of you kids are not going to go out and get drunk. Most of you kids are not going to on purpose say, I deny the Lord and I'm not going to serve the Lord. Most of you wouldn't say that. But I tell you what you will do. You'll get busy here and there. Busy on dates. Busy on the telephone. Busy in pleasure. Busy in other activities apart from serving God. And before you know it, you look back and you see that your youth is gone and you didn't serve the Lord. Kids, I'll tell you, listen, if you don't turn out right, there won't be a kid in America as answerable to God for it as the kids in First Baptist Church. Not a one. You mark it down. A teenager who comes to First Baptist Church, if any church in this world tries to do something with her kids, it's the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And heavy, heavy is going to hang over your heads if you don't turn out right. You can go here 4 years of age. You can go to a grade school. You can stay there till you're out and then go to a junior high and high school. You can graduate there and now you can go to a college. Youth activity every week. Special place for you to sit in the services on Sunday. The best workers in the world. Youth activities every week. Singing groups that you can attend. High school basketball games you can attend. Dedicated school teachers that love you and try to help you. Pastor who works for you and loves you and says to you, sit still, hear what I've got to say. Teachers who love you and the entire church program is built around our kids. If you don't turn out right, heavy, heavy is going to hang over your head. Serve God while you're young. One of the tragic things, people come to me, I can see that lady now. She comes so often to me in my office and she says, Brother Hyle, she said, my boy's in sin. And by the way, he's on up now. He's probably nearly as old as I am. But she says, my boy's in sin, but he grew up in this church. Now, there were a lot of good pastors before I came, and a lot of good people, young people were turned out before I came. But this lady says this. She said, Brother Hiles, if my boy could just have been a teenager while you were here, if my boy could just have grown up in First Baptist Church now, if my boy could just have had what our kids have now, but what happens? We... busy here and there. Before we know it, our youth is gone and life is over. Kids, let me say this. If you don't serve God while you're young, you probably won't serve God when you get older. You're setting your life's patterns now. Did you know, you kids that don't get along with each other now, you won't get along with adults when you get older. And you kids that gossip about each other now, you'll gossip about others when you get older. And you kids that won't listen in church to the preacher, now you'll be a snoring deacon one of these days in a church somewhere. I'm saying you are setting your life's patterns. If you're not a soul winner now, chances are you won't win souls when you get older. If you don't live, so I'm simply saying, now you have the chance. Seize on it. But you get busy here and there, and before you know it, youth is gone, and the opportunities are gone. People come to me so often and say, Brother Hiles, if I had just served God. How many of you, be honest about it, you've ever stopped to think how wonderful it would have been if you could have grown up in a situation like our kids have now? Raise your hand, huh? You see, kids, if you don't watch it, you won't be any better than that crowd. You'll be just, I thought about it. I can't go out to that high school without crying. Dr. Billings just makes me want to cry every time I see him. But I go out to high school, and I recall that hovel and the junky place, and David and I drove out there late one night. Son, remember that? Late one night, we drove out there together. Brother Hand had put a little piece of paper on my desk, and it was a public notice that the school was going to be up for sale and for bids and sealed bids. And David and I drove out there. And the lights weren't on and the building was locked. That didn't matter. We just walked through a window and went in. You never saw such a mess in your life. But I go out there now and walk up and down the halls and go out maybe for a part of a basketball game and see the cheerleaders and see the girls wearing decent length skirts and the boys praying before a basketball game and praying the longer fellows. But anyway, praying before a basketball game and so forth. And I just say, praise the Lord. Now, don't lose. Listen. Kid, don't get busy going here and there. And before you know it, you haven't served the Lord while you're young. Did you know there is a liability of growing up in a church like this too? You get used to it. It's commonplace. And before you know it, it's just, you know, old stuff. Never get used to it. Every morning when you go to school, you ought to say, blessed be God. Thank God I have a place like this to attend. And that's one reason why I want us to have Baptist City. God knows. I believe some of you folks that won't invest one dime in Baptist City. Of course, you want the blessings. And you'll be the first ones out there. Live it up. Boy, you'll be glad for it. Listen, there won't be any Baptist City if we don't get busy for God and stop to realize we're going to have to train our own kids. I'll say it and I'll say it again. And you're going to come to it. If you don't believe it now, you will believe it. Our public schools are getting as sorry as the devil. And if you don't believe it now, you will. You say, well, I don't agree with you. Okay, we won't get mad, but the reason I'm telling you is I'm trying to help your kids. You say, well, I teach in the public schools. I think you're fine. We have a lot of good teachers in our church in the public schools, but that doesn't exchange the fact that most of the teachers don't go to anybody's fundamental church. The dope is available, and cursing runs wild, and it's more of a striptease show than anything else. Drive by Hammond Tech sometime, or Hammond High, or most any of them, and look at the hot pants. The shorts, the slack skin type. There's not a red-blooded normal American boy in the school can go a whole day without having some evil thoughts. And you say, my little Georgie doesn't. Oh, you're an idiot. Pardon me, you're an idiotess. You are crazy. Reminds me of that story. I think I've told it. I don't know, but I want to hear it. I was, it's been years ago, I was down in Garland, Texas, out soul winning one night, and I went to see a fella, and a big 6'4" guy, he's a policeman, had his policeman uniform on. Had a little gal, a wife about that tall, and it's funny how a little 105-pound gal can take a 240-pound fella and just twist him around her finger. So everything it was, I'd ask him a question, and she'd answer it. And she said, well, we just don't like to go to your church because you're against dancing. Well, it's not dancing I'm against, it's the hugging I'm against. And if you want to go down the street, you know, like that's okay with me. You look sort of dumb, but not as dumb as you do walking around hugging on a floor. But as I've often said, if you want to hug, sit down. Good night. Walking around and hugging is hard to do. And she said, what are you against dancing for? And I said, I'm against dancing for many reasons. First reason, I'm against the titles. At that time, we had one called the Foxtrot. We had one called the Dish Rag Twist. We had one called the Boll Weevil Wiggle.
course, those were the days, kids. These modern ones are nothing like we used to have. And you ought to do an old Bo Weevil Wiggle one time. But anyway, I said I'm against the name. I said in the second place, I'm against what goes on at dance halls. The liquor, the lewdness, the adultery, all the rest of it. I'm against it. And I said in the third place, I said, I'm against the evil thoughts that being that close to a woman stir passions they stir in the bodies of men. And the little lady said, that's not true. And I said, ask Georgie. There's that big 6'4" blubbery cop standing up there, you know. She said, is it George? I said, is it George? She said, George, answer me. She said, do you have evil thoughts when you dance with another lady on the dance floor? I said, George, she's waiting for your answer. Answer her. And George said, yes, sweetheart. Yes, anybody will answer it truthfully. They'll have to answer yes, sweetheart, too. And the honest truth is, these little girls sitting up here showing their thighs, their knees, and anything else you can see if they'll pull their... And a lot of you sitting right now to pull your skirts down. It's a disgrace for you to be showing your knees and 3 or 4 inches of your thighs sitting in God's house. Learn to sit. Learn to cover yourself when you sit, and by the way, when you stand up, too. But I'm simply saying... we need a place like Baptist City, and by God's grace, we're going to have it. But let me say this, kids, if we do, and because we do, use the opportunities. If there ever was a group of young people in this world that have every reason to serve God, it's you kids. But what will happen to some of you? You'll get busy here and there. For example, I'm looking at 5 or 6 kids right now. I'm not going to call in names. I'm going to look right at you. But there are 5 or 6 kids right over here right now. You've got a reputation of being loose. I ask your teacher about you, or your principal, or the kids at school, and they'll say, well, he's not one of the better boys. I'd be ashamed. Or she's not one of the finer girls. I'd be ashamed of myself. I absolutely would be ashamed. I'd go home tonight, get on my knees, and say, I am going to be one of the better boys and girls. You've got the opportunity. Serve God. Serve Him while you're young. Here's a fellow who had this prisoner, only one chance to have him. He got busy here and there. Before he knew it, the chance was gone. The opportunity was gone. But then you go on to the middle years of life, and a lot of people didn't serve God in the young years. But you know, the Lord says, I've got something for you to do in the middle age years. By the way, I've got some news for you. The middle years go the fastest. So far. Do they get faster? Those were the dead-end kids that you just heard. And, well, the middle years go the fastest. It's hard for me to realize. But we were sitting there tonight in that senior citizens meeting. And did you know in 19 and a half years I qualify? Can you feature a man with all the hair I've got and the physique I've got? In 19 and a half years I'll qualify? That means, Doc, that in 19 years you'll qualify. Because you're the oldest person on the staff. Here's the oldest man. He's like a father to me. Really, he is. But it's hard to realize. But they're going. I want to serve God. I want to keep busy now. I don't want to become an old man, look back and say, I wasted my middle years. And this fellow said, all gone. But the sad thing about it is you know that many people, God says, I want you to serve me. Young people, girls. You look at me while I preach. Sit back against your seat and you look at me. You need this, and I want you to hear what I've got to say. Life will be gone and never serve the Lord. You look back over your life and you see wasted years like Solomon of old. I had a thought this week. I've never thought of it in my life, and I hope my mother will not be too hurt and my sister will not feel too badly because I say this. But I had a thought this week that never crossed my mind ever about my dad. You see, my dad was not a Christian. He died a drunkard's death in 1950. But Mom and Dad had, shortly after they were married, a little girl. You've heard me tell about it, Loreen. Loreen never walked or talked. She died when she was 7, afflicted all of those years. Little Hazel was born. Hazel died when she was 7. She was normal. She was a healthy little girl, lovely girl. I've seen pictures. I never saw her, but I've seen pictures of her. Hazel had the measles, and then she had a relapse back in the days before miracle drugs, and Hazel died because of a relapse of the measles. And I was preaching
this last week. And I was telling about the difference in heaven and hell. If you walked out tonight, if we opened those drapes tonight and you walked outside in the darkness, you could see what's going on in this room. We couldn't see what's going on out there. The Bible says hell is outer darkness and heaven is perpetual light. And that's why in hell, the rich man looked up and saw Abraham and saw Lazarus in his bosom. He saw them, but they didn't see him. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And then Abraham said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. That's an interesting thing. And it says, so that those that would pass from here or hence to you cannot. Then he says that those that are over there can't pass over here. But it's very interesting to me. The first thing he said was, folks can't come from here to you. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Because loved ones would want to go to hell and get their other loved ones saved. We can't get to you, he said. But now, in hell, it's darkness. In heaven, it's light. So folks in hell can see in heaven, and folks in heaven cannot see in hell. Any more than you could see what's going on in the street tonight, but they can look in here and see what's going on here. To me, that's one of the worst things about hell. Here's the rich man burning in hell. He looks up and he sees Abraham and Lazarus. There's that poor beggar that used to sit outside my gate and eat the crumbs that my servant poured out from our table. And there he is. Look at him. I see him. And in hell, they look up and they see the glories of heaven and see what they missed. But here's the sad thought that I had right while I was preaching it. I never thought about it in my life before. That means my dad can see my two sisters. Think about that. That means that Dad can see Loreen, his little girl, and Hazel, his little girl. Don't you think, and I don't want to talk about this very long because I don't think I could very long, but don't you think in darkness he looks over and sees Loreen and Hazel and remembers the lost opportunities he had? The times that Loreen, maybe, or Hazel said, Daddy, let's go to church this morning. Or the times that Erlene said, Daddy, why don't you go to church with us? Or the times that I said, Daddy, please go to church with us. And my dad in darkness looks up over and sees his own two girls and remembers a wasted life. A life in liquor, a life in sensuality, a life in sin, a wasted life. 62 years, nothing to show for it at all. 62 years, buried in a drunkard's grave. 62 years, didn't even take time to get saved. 62 years, nobody ever did much for. 62 years, a life of selfishness. And that's a sad thing that most many of us come to these. I was thinking tonight, Forrest Ranger, I'm so glad to see you. Forrest Ranger, at our rescue mission, God bless him, and these dear men. We don't understand what it is to be tied to the bottle. We don't understand it. And I saw Forrest Ranger a fair while ago. Forrest came to our rescue mission, drunk one night. And the policeman brought him in drunk. The policemen in town know who takes care of folks in trouble. And they brought him in drunk to our rescue mission. And so, was it you, John? John Colston said, what's your name? He said, you wouldn't believe it. He was drunk. He was Forrest Ranger. Who would believe it, you know? And policeman said, what's your name? And he said, you wouldn't believe it. And he said, well, what is your name? I said, you wouldn't believe it. And he said, well, what is it? I will, too. He said, Forrest Ranger. And the policeman said, I don't believe it. One of the nicest fellows ever worked in this church, Forrest Ranger. One of the finest gentlemen ever worked. But what happened? He got out in the liquor, got him again. He's been gone, just came back to mission. Came back one time, stayed 3 days. I was thinking that I hope you stick. I hope you... You don't have long to live, Forrest. You know, we have many of our mission men. There's Wayne Harden. Wayne was our cook. Wayne's dead now. He's gone. Remember that fellow drove the van so long? What was his name? Walter Zahn. Walter Zahn, one of the most courteous men you ever saw in your life. Walter's dead now. Fellows, you listen to me tonight. Most of you, so far in life, have not gotten much done. Now, you only have one life to live. You seize upon this opportunity to get away from that bottle and make something of your life. Don't live and die and look
back over your life and say, it was wasted in God's name. Take the opportunity you have at the mission and make something out of your life from here on in.
What a tragic thing it is to see people, life gone, and they look back over it and, like this fellow said, the prisoner's gone.
I was busy here and there. I was busy here and there.
I saw some of the mission men last night smoking cigarettes out in front of the building. I know who it was. And you didn't hide from me. I saw one of you as you ran around the corner. You didn't hide from me. And I thought, isn't that a sneaky, underhanded, a sorry way to live? Huh? Isn't that a sorry way to live? Good night in the morning.
Why don't you say, by the grace of God, I'm going to make my life count for God.
Don't waste your life. And by the way, what's your life? What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. Oh, what does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings a new day? Does it help others over life's way? What is your life today? Only one chance to live. I was thinking today. I have radio on last night, going home on WBBM. And they were having what's going to happen in the 21st century. You hear that? What's going to happen in the 21st century? I know one thing's going to happen. We're going to either all be destroyed or there's going to be a revival coming to America. That's one thing I know for sure. But they're going to talk, what's going to happen in the 21st century? And they talked about it just like it's going to come. And I got to thinking, where am I going to be in the 21st century? I won't be here. There'll be somebody in the school library walking up saying, Howe's Church Manual or Hillis Church Manual. Wonder who that fellow ever was. And somebody said, he used to pastor in Hammond, Indiana. Deacons choked him to death at a deacon meeting. he died breaking into the Hoosier Bank trying to steal $1 million his folks wouldn't invest. That's old bank robber Hillis. Or he dug himself to death, buried himself digging sewer out of Baptist City, trying to save money. Did you know the honest truth is, Doc, you stop and think about it, boy. It's not going to be long till they're going to just be reading about us. I mean, it just doesn't take long, ladies and gentlemen, to finish this little journey. We used to sing a song. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. To meet the deeds that I have done, will ever be no setting sun. While going down life's weary road, Lord, help me lift some traveler's load. Help me turn the night from today and help someone along the way. We're not here for long. What difference does it make how much money you got in the bank? Huh? What difference does it make how pop... You girls... The only thing in life is for you to be pretty. Do you know many of you are failures completely? Just flops. All that matters. Am I pretty? Some of you older girls the same way. By the way, your life is a ruin, wrecked. But I mean, that's all that matters. I was talking to my boy Dave not long ago, and we were just sort of chatting a while. We were talking a little bit about life. You know, things that mean so much to us, most of it is just busy here and there. Busy here and there. You're going to wish one of these days when you come to the end of life that you'd given everything to Christ. But we won't listen. We won't listen. I hasten on to say, did you know that's what's wrong with our country tonight? Busy here and there. You know why America's going to be destroyed? Because of the indifferent Christians, people, busy here and there. Last week, sometime recently, I forget what it was, I was talking to Vic Nischik. Vic, born in Ukraine, where are you, Vic? Born in the Ukraine. Vic has been under Russia and also Adolf Hitler. He has seen a country taken over by the communists. He knows what it's like. And he told me recently, he said, preacher, the people don't know it. But he said, America is right where we were just before the communists took over. Now, he's seen it. He knows.
Now, you say to the house, where are we? Here's what he said. He said the people don't know
the condition we're in. They don't know. You know what folks think I am? A rabble-rouser. Alarmist. I've said this before, but about 20 years ago, there's a fellow on the radio named Carl McIntyre that said communism was coming to America. There's a fellow on the radio named Billy James Hargis, and I'll be honest with you, I used to think they went a little too far myself. And I used to hear Billy James Hargis and Carl McIntyre talk about communists in the Senate and communists in the Supreme Court and communists in the White House. Man, I've gotten to the place where I think they're communists in the choir. Look at them. Suspicious looking lot. But I mean, listen, we laughed at them. But say what you want to say, the Carl McIntyre and Billy James Hargis of 1956-55 and 60 stand today not as rabble-rousers prophesying something that has not come true, but as prophets who had their prophecies fulfilled right before our eyes. Over here in Chicago. Miss Nude America. Perform. It's against the law, too. And while she broke the law and took off the last thread covering her body, before the lustful, sensuous eyes of wicked men, including officers who all arrested her and closed the place, other officers were arresting folks for going 35 miles an hour in 30-mile zone outside. Brothers and sisters, America's about to go to hell. You like what I said about the kids a while ago, didn't you? All right, listen to me. Would you agree, adults, that if our kids don't turn out right, heavy's going to hang over their head? Amen? Amen, adults? Amen? Okay. Now then, you and I as adults have a chance to influence the preachers of this country and help save this country with a Christian college, the lack of which our nation does not have and needs. And God in heaven is going to rain His judgment on us if we don't seize on this opportunity. We have the ear of preachers. No other church in America, no other church can draw 1,300 preachers from all across the country, 43 states and 19 foreign countries, to come to our pastor school, and young folks will be coming here from all over America. Young preachers will be. And we have a chance to build a college, to set these fellows on fire, and send them across this country to build great soul-winning churches. But you want to sit on your money like a sitting hen on an egg. There are people right here in this room that unless we get generous, your money is going to go to the state in less than 20 years. And I don't believe it'll be 10. And you won't have any. You're saving for security. Brother, our only security is the will of God. You say, I'm saving for a rainy day. Brother, we're going to have a hurricane if we don't do something for God and get some preachers trained and get a college that'll send these preachers out to turn this nation upside down for God. Strange. You don't believe my preaching. Half you folks tonight don't believe what I preach. You wait. We're busy here and there, and America's about gone. Did you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Did you know that if a man like Mr. McGovern got elected president next time, we might be gone in the next 4 or 5 years? And I don't mean to a depression either. I mean to slavery. If somebody got in our government who would kowtow to these communist hippies and SDS crowd and Black Panther for crowd and all the rest of them, our freedom could be gone in this decade. But the trouble is, we're just busy here and there. Preacher's a rabble-rouser. You wait. I'm not asking you to give Brother Hiles a dime. I'm asking you to help me save this nation for the sake of your kids and your life and your grandkids. And you will let, many of you, let your money rot in some bank before you let invest it in God's work in the business of saving this nation. Busy here and there. Okay, you wait. And don't you think it couldn't happen, and Mr. Nischik will tell you it could, and is about to. You wait. You wait till they pass a law in Congress, or in the state, or the local law, that no church can go visiting anymore to try to get converts. And they will. They will. Now, over here in Chicago, folks have been arrested and tried for passing out tracts in public. Over in Chicago. Massachusetts, a preacher friend of mine, has been put under peace bond for going out and knocking on a door and trying to tell some lady how to be saved. They will. They will. And you wait till we go out, witness. And you wait till they come and say you can't hold an invitation and get converts. And you wait till they come and lock those doors and take me out to jail and take my life. And as I've said before, I'm number two on the communist list in this county. A man who saw the list told me, I'm number two on the communist list in this county. I don't know who number one is. I'd like to know him. I'm going to try harder and become number two, number one if I can. But I'm number two now. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ashamed that I'm not number one. Because I want to be number one. I want to be the man in town who hates that dirty godless communism more than anybody else does. But you wait. You wait. You wait until your property is confiscated by the state and private ownership of property is disallowed. And brother, we could be less than 10 years away from that. You wait. You wait. Then you'll believe it. And then you'll sit just like this fellow sat and said, I was busy here and there. I was busy here and there. I wasn't doing bad. I know it. Did you know that when Russia became communistic, less than 3% of the Russian people were communist? Well, you say, how did 3% take over the whole country? The rest of them were busy here and there. What happens to churches? Churches, the pastor does not alert the people, warn the people. What happens? Busy here and there. Churches are gone. Did you know that's the same thing true about one's health? Did you know one of these days that thing that's so precious to you, your health, will be gone? And all the opportunities of serving God are past. All of them gone. I think so often about some of our people. Fern Stevens, she's not here. I don't think Fern is here tonight. Fern was a school teacher. Wonderful school teacher. Taught the first grade. Wasn't the first grade, Mother? First grade. Lovely lady. I can recall when I first came to Hammond, Fern Stevens was healthy and strong. And she helped us start these bus routes here, the bus ministry years ago. I can still see Fern, first grade teacher. I can see her coming around the old building over here, the old Baptist Youth Center over here we had on the corner, the building that burned. I can see Fern coming around, a bunch of little poor kids behind her. Every Sunday, she'd bring a bunch of little poor kids to church with her. Fern was a school teacher. She loved her work. But one day there was a chest pain, and the doctor said it's heart trouble. And finally, she had to have open heart surgery. And I went to St. Catherine's Hospital and prayed one night for her, and the next morning she had open heart surgery. And she'll never teach again. Ever again. She seized upon her opportunities, but there'll be a day, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Billings, there'll be a day, and by the way, at our age and as busy as we are, it could be tomorrow. There'll be a day when you'll walk through the doors of that school for the last time and sit down at your desk, and you'll feel a little bad. And you'll go home and say to Mrs. Billings, or you'll say to the folks there in the office, but I don't feel very good. And you go to the doctor. Do you know that you're just another breath away from looking back on life instead of forward to life? Did you know that Baptist City may not be in my future? Did you know, Brother Beebe, you may have your last bus convention this week? Brother Colston, did you know that this week you may visit the last sick person ever visit? Brother Fisk, you may win the last soul you'd ever win. You may have the last rescue mission service you'd ever have, Brother Perky. What am I saying? I'm saying the only opportunity we know we have is right now. Right this minute. That's all. I was thinking about Glenn Shunk, that evangelist. By the way, we're trying to get Glenn Shunk to teach in our college, if he will. He's an evangelist, and if he can't preach a revival, so we'd love to have him teach. Have you heard from him yet? We'd love to have a man like that. But what I'm trying to say is open heart surgery. He may never preach again. Oh, you say, yeah, that's too bad. I'm sorry about that. But you wait till it's you. And it will be. You wait till it's you. You wait till you have to retire. You wait till the doctor says you'll never work again. Dr. Tom Malone said to me one time, he said, Jack, you'll never know unless you have the same thing happen to you how this feels. But I had my vocal cords, I had speaker's nodes growth on the vocal cords. The doctor rolled me into surgery and he said, Dr. Malone, chances are two to one you preached your last sermon. 2 to 1. I got to thinking, I might have some bumps on my vocal cords right now. It may be this hoarseness I've got, this little knot in my throat is not maybe sinus drainage. Though I'm pretty sure it is. But it may. A lot of fellows under 45 are on the shift. There's Bob Keyes tonight. Never preach again. He told me, he said, Jack, he's my associate pastor for a while. He said, he's younger than I. He won't be 45 till next month. He told me, he said, Jack, he said, there's no way to tell you how you feel. When you just wake up from surgery and you wonder if the heart surgery, open heart surgery was a success. The doctor walks in and says, Mr. Keyes, we couldn't get it all. It's bigger than we thought. The aneurysm was bigger than we thought. He said, Doc, can I? And he said, I was afraid to say it. Doc, he said, will I ever be able to? And the doctor began to cry and apologize. He said, no. Never again. Never again. Do you know that every one of us will face that day one day? Health gone. Here's a fellow that I was busy here and there. I know. Prisoner got away. Seize your opportunity. Use it now. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for God will last. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Same thing's true about money. Man in this church called me one day, said, I could have talked to you. Came to my office. Pastor, I was once worth $300,000. I said, how much you got now? He said, I don't have a dime. What happened to it? I lost it all in one deal. $300,000. He said, you know what I wish I'd done? I wish I'd just invested it all for God. You don't have money very long. Not long. He said, I plan to have enough money the rest of my life. That won't be long. And by the way, you're going to leave it. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to die one of these days and leave that money to your wife. You know what she's going to do? She's going to marry that other guy she should have married in the first place. And he's going to spend it. And up in heaven, you're going to look down and say, let me at the bum. I just hope he's more generous with it than you are. Hope he's not as big a tightwad as you are. Preacher one day, was preaching in a colored church, really happened. He said, I'm preaching tonight on one. He said, one more. They said, ah, boy, amen. One faith, amen.
baptism. Amen. One tenth.
How much you got? You say, you're trying to get my money. I wouldn't have your money. I want to, listen, brother, I got enough folks in this country that are rich that give me anything. They're begging me to give me stuff. A fella called me last week on the phone, not Mr. Anderson either, and offered me a brand new 1972 DeVille Cadillac. And I told him, ship it on. No, I don't want it. I said, man, I already got me a Cutlass Oldsmobile, and I'm going to drive one. Come to think of it, son, you'd like to have it? Dave drives the car more than I do. I don't want your money. I just want you to use it for God, that's all. And you wait, you wait. You just wait until the family's pacing the floor. They're going to come in 5 minutes every hour because you're in the intensive care room. And you lying there on your back 55 minutes out of every hour by yourself. You'll wish then you'd used it for God. But it's too late. It's too late. Too late. Prisoner's gone. It just may be, Superintendent, that you have superintended your last department. Our teacher, you'll teach your last class next Sunday. You don't know. Life is uncertain. Not a person here could say for sure he'll be here next week. Not a one. As a kid, I thought like all kids think. Who dies? Old people. Did you used to think that? Old people. I had a little girlfriend. Second grade. 7. I can still see her. Her hair was real white. It wasn't blonde, it was white. Almost like an albino, but not quite. Real, real white. And one day she didn't come to school. And they said she was sick. And the next day they sent word, she was dead. 7. 7 years old. Dead. Gone. I had a kid I played football with named Dickie Green, 17 years of age in high school. Dickie had a pimple one day on the back of his neck right here. He got infected. Blood poison set in, went to his brain. Word came to school one day, he was dead. Gone. Dead. I was trying to think of the girl's name I went with. Real tall girl. Real tall. She's taller than I was. I didn't like her much, but we had a church basketball team and we needed a center, mother and I went down to Uncle Roy's house for 2 weeks in the summer. We came back, and I called her up, and I said, "Is she at home?" I forget her name. And her mother said, "Well, no, you didn't know." I said, "No, what?" She said, "She passed away. We buried her last week. Dead. Just a teenage girl. Dead. Gone. You don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know." Our own Cunningham boy. 14 years of age. Just recently. Gone. If anybody would ask him, said, was it Toby? Said, not Toby. Todd. Said, "Todd, are you going to serve God?" "Sure, I'm going to serve God." "Well, when are you going to serve God?" "Well, of course, Todd was a good kid, but when I get older, I'm going to serve." But Todd didn't get older. Todd's gone. Forever. It'll never come back. Folks, let's just face it. The only day we know we have is today. Yesterday morning, I think it was, Jackie Stark opened a box of aspirin or a bottle of aspirin. Took a couple of aspirins. She had taken some more medicine, and she didn't know that the aspirin would counteract that medicine. Jackie's what? She's not over 30, is she? Teenage girl when I came here. Grew up in this church. Her parents are faithful members here. Almost, they were here last Wednesday night. Talked to me about Baptist City after the meeting. Jackie's gone today. She's gone. Opportunities all gone. Never another chance will she have to tell someone about Christ. She'll never have a chance to take a cup of cold water and give it to someone who's thirsty. She'll never have another chance to take some food and give it to a hungry soul or give a coat to someone who's cold. Folks, I preached a long time. My telephone sounds like a phone at a morgue at night. If that phone rings in the middle of the night, I wonder who it's going to be. Phone's ringing. Hello, Pastor. Bill McKeegan just dropped dead with a heart attack. Phone rings. Pastor, Bertie Fields just died. Phone rings. Pastor, Todd Cunningham was killed last night in a car wreck. Phone rings. Pastor, Mr. and Mrs. Moore on a vacation in Oklahoma, both of them killed in a car wreck. Phone rings. Pastor, young girl, 17 years of age, on a date, and they had a wreck. She was suddenly killed. That's the way it's been now all these years. You say, I don't think it'll happen to me. Neither did they. Neither did they. Ask a question. Anything you ought to be doing, you're not doing? Wasted years. Young people, here and there, busy. Middle-aged folks, busy here and there. Not using your money, not using your talent, not using your time. Do it! These kids are smart over here that serve God while they're young. They may never get old. Mel Rudder, Dorothy Rudder, had a boy just a few days older than Becky. Went down to the basement the other day and was playing around in the basement, 20 years of age. Tied a rope around his neck, slipped and fell, hanged himself. 20 years old. He's dead. He's gone. He's gone. I can recall, Doc, when I used to think about when I get 30, that's heart attack age. When everybody I hear about had a heart attack was 33. I used to think, boy, when I get 30, that's heart attack age. So I went down and had a, what do you call those things? Cardiogram. And laid down there. Doctor stripped me to my waist and laid down there, and he rubbed some salt here and some goo and rub one here and rub one here and rub one here and rub one here, and I always get tickled when they do that. And then he puts something around your hand and sticks something there, and you lie there and he's going to check your heart, see if you're alive or not. And then the crazy fool says, now relax. Relax. I got up, went back to the doctor's office. The doctor said, have you ever had any heart trouble before? I said, before? He said, yes, sir. He said, you have an irregularity of the heart. I said, that ain't good, is it? He said, I don't know. He said, I'll have to send you to a specialist downtown Dallas. That was in Garland, 30-minute drive. Took me 8 days to get there. Specialist came in. He took me, caught a ground, and then he said, now I want you to jog for a minute. I jogged for a minute. He said, take it again. He looked at me and he said, well, your heart doesn't beat just like everybody else. I don't do anything like everybody else. But he said, you got a strong heart. Your heart's okay. Late one night down in Dallas, Garland, Texas, I'd worked hard. Woke up in the middle of the night, tingling in my chest. All this side was dead. I said, that's it. That's it. I called Jim Lyons. He lived three houses down. I said, Jim, come get me and take me to the doctor hospital. Wee hours of the morning, well, about midnight, I guess, 1 o'clock. He rushed down. He carried me out, put me in the back seat of the car. I said, Jim, old buddy, insurance policies from the third drawer from the top. I don't know whether he's laughing or not. They rolled me down to Baylor Hospital, 2 o'clock in the morning. Stripped me to the waist. Put some salt here. Feel like I can die with their salt in you. And salt here, salt here, and salt here, and salt back here. There I was, my chest all dead, arm was tingling. Fellow said, "Now just relax." I said, "Sure, sure." I thought I was gone, really. You know what it was? I ate too many hot dogs. That's all. I thought I was gone. But I'll tell you what. If my arm goes to tingling tonight, I'm taking off for St. Margaret's again. You know why? Because I know that this might be the last time I'll be in this pulpit. This might be it. You heard me say this time and time again, the last words I say when I walk through that door, "Dear Lord, help me to preach like it were the last one." This may be it. This may be it. I don't know. But what life I have, I want to use it for Him. What money I have, I want Him to have it. What breath I have, I want to use it for Him. For once the prisoner's gone, there's no way to get him back. And once the opportunity's gone, once your youth is gone, you'll never have a chance to serve God again in your youth. Once your middle age is gone and the years of arthritis come in, you'll never have a chance to serve God in middle age again. And once you look back on your life and so many things you intended to do, so many plans you'd made, but it's gone. Let me ask you a question. Are you taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of your youth? Are you taking advantage of your middle years? People ask me this all across the country. "Dr. Hiles, how do you do all you do?" I always tell them, "I do all I do because I only have one life to do. Only one. I want to do it. And I want to do all I can do." How about you? How about you? Any wasted money, wasted years, wasted life? Let God have it. Many of you here tonight not even saved. God put you here to live, to get ready to die, and you haven't even gotten ready to die yet. I wish you could watch somebody go to hell once, see what it's like. Wish you could see that fellow in Marshall, Texas, crawling out from under that auction tent and tear the auction tent and say, "I'm going to hell! Preacher, help me, preacher. I'm going to hell. I'm burning. Help me, preacher." And he was gone. Good night if you don't know that you're saved. Know it. Know it. Take advantage of life and spend it in service for Him. Let us pray.